Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Friday. It's finally Friday morning. Still to come about an hour from now, State Senator Chris Elliott. We'll get to your text, 251-343-0106. Keep them coming. But in the next few segments, I will try to respond to your text. Joining us now on the line, a friend of the program, always grateful for his appearances on the show, State Representative Mark Shirey. Joins us. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I am doing well, Jeff. It's a beautiful Friday afternoon here in South Alabama, and everything's going good.
Well, it's great to hear. Let's get right to business here. Redistricting map is out. I think it profoundly impacts our part of the state. It really changes the political balance in ways that maybe not are immediately apparent and probably won't be immediately apparent in election cycles, other than you'll be voting somewhere different. And we have, obviously, Mobile County will have two members of Congress, but just the balance of power where the population centers are. I mean, there's a lot to discuss there, but your reaction to it, what's your take on what the federal courts have done here?
Well, I think everyone expected them to throw out our maps. They gave us very vague instructions and expected, members of the legislature to come together and do what they wanted us to do without really telling us what they wanted. I think we got close, and that's what they said. They said quite close. That's what we did. But when we finished, we pretty much were resigned to know that they were going to throw it out. I think that's why they gave us vague instructions. I think they wanted to draw the maps themselves, and I don't think that's the judicial branch's constitutional duty. I think that's the duty of the legislator. So I'm really disappointed in the decision. I'm disappointed that the Supreme Court wouldn't take up, our emergency stay, but at least they didn't come back and say, no, we're not going to hear anything on this. So, we've got another chance, but it is what it is for right now.
I mean, so a lot of criticism has been leveled at, the reporting is that General Marshall, the Attorney General Steve Marshall, had some say in swaying which way the legislature went with the maps, the Pringle plan versus the Livingston plan and all that. But, I look at it like this, you had to take this chance. You had to take this shot downfield. You couldn't just go with a real conservative map and potentially seed a congressional district without some kind of fight to the Democratic Party.
Oh, that's absolutely true. And even as far as we went, we still had a fight from the Democratic Party. I think even if we'd have chose one of the other maps, we'd still had a fight. I think the Democratic Party doesn't want a competitive district. They want a guaranteed district.
Well, and now you look at it, Mobile County sliced, geographically in half. I'm not sure where the population's going to line up when they eventually will know, by October 10th, the ultimate map. But it really is going to change. It's going to change just as political consulting and what guys like me do. But I think more importantly, it's really the economy. That really depends on the federal government. That part of the economy has to be really paying close attention to this.
Absolutely. And right now, we're trying to look at these maps and they're very low resolutions of what we can find and pick up. So we don't really know how far the lines come down and how much Mobile is going to be split and things like that. But, they really just threw out communities of interest. And they basically, the reason that they're redrawing these maps is they're saying that we drew the maps and did racial gerrymandering. And the solution that it gave us was racial gerrymandering. That doesn't make sense to me.
Well, and I don't want you to, you don't have to speak for your colleagues here, but I just speak for yourself. It's not like y'all woke up one morning, hey, it's special session day. We got to go redo these maps. And he said, how can we draw the most racist map possible? But that's the inference if you listen to the federal courts. You guys were just set out to undermine the vote for African Americans like it's 1965 or something.
You're exactly right. We're paying for the sins of the fathers. None of us alive today, you know, I think, had that issue. We didn't come into a session. I've had no meetings with anyone saying, hey, on these maps, we gotta really keep the black vote down. We just didn't have that. Matter of fact, we were using some of the maps that were drawn back when Democrats had control.
Well, and here's what a lot of people say. They'll remind you of this. The same maps that were drawn in that 2021 special session were approved by the Obama Department of Justice. These maps have long stood the test of time. Remember, like, back in 2021, Representative, it was all about, oh, we may lose a congressional seat. The census may not be in our favor. Make sure you get your voice heard in the census, and it turned out not to be anything. But I don't think this was the there was going to be lawsuits no matter what. There always are, but no one thought that this would be a challenge for Alabama.
I think you're exactly right, because we'd had those maps approved before. Chris Pringle did yeoman's work working on this, hours and hours of work. You know, when we first went into it, how do you feel? He goes, well, you know, I don't know, but I think it's going to go. And, you know, all we did, we just ran into the activist judges who were kind of overstepping their roles.
Joined by State Representative Mark Shirey here on the program. Representative, let's talk some, talking to some of your colleagues, I think Leader Stathagen, and some others, the speaker has been on this program. Ethics reform, or we're going to take another stab at that, and then the big one, gambling. So Representative Simpson over in Baldwin County, looking at ethics, but then you got Andy Witt, your colleague from North Alabama, going and fighting these speakeasy gaming, whatever you want to call them, institutions or facilities or whatever. And that looks like where you're going to do. That's what the signs are pointing toward in the 2024 session coming up here soon.
I totally agree with you. Ask anybody. We've had gambling in the state of Alabama for probably forever. It's just not regulated. And finding some of the these backroom gambling halls, and I think I heard Speaker Ledbetter say that even Representative Witt was able to buy a scratch-off ticket even up in North Alabama where Speaker Ledbetter and myself are from, which was kind of eye-opening. But we've known they've had gambling. I was driving in rural Alabama a couple of weeks ago, and you know, charity bingo, things like that. I'm just wondering how much of that money actually goes to charity. This was not a church organization or anything like that. It was just a standalone bingo place. And, you know, we have that all over the state. And I think that's going to be a really big push for the lottery tied in with gambling. And it's going to have to be a comprehensive bill. And hopefully we can get something that works well. My fear is that we're going to create another big government commission to oversee this, and it's going to, you know, we can't do big government commissions very well. Look at our cannabis, medical marijuana stuff. We're just not doing that very well, and picking winners and things like that. I think we need to stay out of that. But, you know, we'll wait. We'll see what the bill comes up and see how the legislator leans, and see if we can change it once it comes up to make it as good as we can for the state of Alabama.
Well, and when we talk about gambling, it's fascinating to me. Like, you see these quote-unquote charity bingo halls or whatever. Are you in, you know, that one interstate exit to Utah there where – Green Track is, and then there's a couple others just right there out in the open. But how do you do this? And this is the question for a lot of things in Alabama, where you have these violations of the law of the state constitution right there, right before your eye, but the local law enforcement see things differently. The sheriff there is not enforcing the law necessarily. The local DA is not it falls on the Attorney General, who, whenever you talk about this to him, he seems it's either a politically taboo thing to do to be involved, or they're just too overwhelmed with other things to get involved. So, like, the laws you guys pass in the state house, what do you do to enforce them?
Well, right now we don't have a mechanism. The house, we can't call witnesses in. We don't have subpoena power. We have very little oversight. From what I'm learning up there, our oversight comes in. Well, take any department. We fund them, and then they do something that we don't like or something that we think they shouldn't do. What do? We talk to them about their funding for next year. Very little oversight there. And we ran into this in a committee. We had a specific issue where the point was raised, you know, no one pays attention to that law or anything like that. And my point was, I don't care. I don't care if anybody pays attention to it. It is the law. If it's the law, we need to go by the law. If you don't like the law, let's change the law. But if it's the law, I think it should be enforced. And maybe we should have some mechanisms to ensure the enforcement.
Yeah, and there's so much of that. Like, you guys pass laws, and to me, this is a theme of mine in my writing and on this radio show. Bureaucracy is just going to do what it's going to do. They're very dismissive of the legislature. They're even dismissive of the governor. They make things happen. You guys run for office is the way they view it. And it's going to be status quo as far as they're concerned. And I think you see this with the Department of Transportation, Department of Corrections, even Archives and History. You see it with the High School Athletic Association. Like, all these little bureaucracies could care less about what you guys do sometimes.
You're right, Jeff. A lot of times we pass laws, and I've asked this question as a freshman legislator. I said, well, okay, if they break this law, what happens? You know, there's no penalties. A lot of our laws are passed. It's against the law to do it, but there's no penalties. And I'm like, well, why? Well, if we put that penalty in there, we probably won't get it passed. I'm like, well, if we pass it without it,
what's the point?
You know, yeah. What's the point? You're exactly right. What's the point?
Well, I'll tell you the answer to that.
It needs to have teeth.
You're checking a box, and you're doing something to make it look like you are being proactive on a problem. And at the end of the day, like, there's a big signing ceremony. Everybody's patting themselves on the back. And then what really has happened is you passed a law, and sure, under the eyes of the law, it's illegal, but there's no penalty, right? So what's the deterrent?
Yeah, the public is smarter than that, though. You know, I've had constituents tell me, well, what does that really matter? Well, if there's no teeth, you can't enforce it. What did you do? You didn't solve a problem. You placated the problem.
Yeah, and then just like I said, but is it necessarily a state house a legislative problem that you guys aren't being specific enough? I think it's really there's just too much wiggle room, too much a broad discretion given to some of the agencies around the state, which. They're not elected. They're unelected bureaucrats. There's just very little accountability. Maybe they answer to the governor. In case of state health officer, they don't. But you guys can pass laws all day, and it's really up to the good faith of the people that work for the state.
That is exactly right. It's up to the good faith of the people. And we have, don't get me wrong, we have good people working for the state and working to better the state. We have others that have their own little kingdom, if you want to call it that, and really thumb their nose at the legislator because they know we're not going to defund them, and that's the only stick that we have. You know, I guess we have a little bit of carrot to give them more funding, but at the same time, if they're not doing what we want them to do and what the people of the state want them to do to begin with, I don't think anything that we do is going to change that until we pass some laws and some regulations that force their hand.
Well, and whenever I talk to some of your colleagues about this, they always go to the funding part of it. Well, you know, maybe we can't tell these guys what to do, but we can defund them. But just kind of watching recent history, and I know you've been there a year, but, you know, over time, there's a real apprehension, a real reluctance to go in that direction as well. That it's there, it's the nuclear option. And what the problem, I guess, is what are the other options beyond a nuclear option? But there does seem to be a little, wariness when it comes to using that to get what you want.
Absolutely. And think about the Alabama Department of Transportation. They're doing some things that we don't like down here. Are we going to cut their funding? I just don't see that happening. We need our roads. We need our bridges. We need our repairs done. We need projects done and to help with other industries, tourism and things like that. And we're tiptoeing around trying to keep those projects on track.
Well, even then, you know, if you just even tinker with it like they're doing with this contract review dust up, I mean, it makes the news and people are upset. There's hurt feelings, and that's only for 45 days. What does it look like if you do it for more than 45 days? I suppose it would be the question, and we don't really know. It's just everybody talks about how powerful the legislature is, and yeah, it can override the governor's veto with just a simple majority. But I got to be honest; like sometimes I think you guys are a little hamstrung by just the way things are and the way government is, state government in Alabama is constituted.
I think you're exactly right. Go back to the pandemic; there was absolutely nothing the legislature could do because we can't call ourselves into sessions. So you're right. We were hamstrung. And I think we do that a lot to ourselves. I think we have great ideas for bills, and then we compromise too much to get those bills so that we can get them through the House and get them through the committees and everything like that. It's very hard to pass a bill. I tell all my constituents that. It should be very hard to pass a bill. But if you compromise to a point where the bill is ineffective, you didn't really even need to pass the bill because you're not getting anything accomplished.
Representative, great appearance this morning. I'm glad you could make time for us. Let's do it again sometime soon.
Thank you for having me on, sir.
That's State Representative Mark Shirey there. We got to get a break. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5.